Today, Pastor Ray Bentley reminds us there's one spot on earth that's the epicenter of God's end times plan.
What's interesting to me is that all the nations of the earth that are wrestling over the modern problems and war and terror and religion and all the rest, it all comes down to that one mountain where Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. If you're a student of fashion, the center of the universe would be Paris or London. If you're into country music, it's Nashville. For Motown music, it's Detroit. For a stage actor, New York is at the top. But for students of Bible prophecy, Pastor Ray shows us today, Jerusalem is ground zero.
Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 says, "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. This is talking about John, who is instructed by an angel to measure the temple. He is to measure the temple of God, he is to measure the altar, and he is to measure or number those who worship there. Now, here is what is interesting about this fact. John wrote the book of Revelation approximately the year 95 AD. This means that the temple, which was standing in Jesus' day, there was a temple when Jesus ministered, but Jesus had also predicted this temple shall be torn down and not one stone left upon another. Well, that happened in 70 AD. In other words, when John received this vision and wrote to the churches, the seven churches, the book of Revelation, the temple had been destroyed, literally torn down, not one stone left on top of another, and burnt and was gone for 25 years. There had been no temple. That happened in AD 70. Titus the Roman came in, destroyed the temple. So now, 25 years later, on the Isle of Patmos, John, the apostle, receives this divine revelation, a vision of the end times, and an angel says, now go measure the temple. So the question becomes, if the temple was destroyed, what temple was John told to measure? What temple is John referring to in Revelation chapter 11? There can only be one answer, a future temple. In other words, it doesn't explain, it presupposes there would have to be a temple rebuilt in order for it to be remeasured. There would have to be an altar put back, because in John's day there was no temple, no altar at that time. What John is saying here is that the temple will be rebuilt in the last days. And right now, the thought of rebuilding the temple today probably seems preposterous, because it's not allowed currently, politically, for Christians to worship or pray on the top of that mount, nor is it allowed for Jewish people to worship or to pray on top of that mountain. Only Muslims are allowed to worship there in that golden dome called the Dome of the Rock. So in light of that, there are many people that say, well, it doesn't need to be rebuilt, it will never be rebuilt, and let me tell you what I believe. First of all, I believe Revelation. I believe in Revelation 11. I believe that when John was instructed by an angel to measure the temple, it's because there's going to be a temple rebuilt. And in fact, I believe that in spite of the fact that politically it seems so preposterous right now, I believe that within the years to come, it is not only probable, or possible rather, but it is probable that the temple will be rebuilt. There is a group in Jerusalem called the Temple Institute. In the Old Testament, as you begin reading through the various, there are all kinds of instruments that have to be used and made. They have to make an altar, and they have to make a menorah that has to be covered with gold. They have to have these silver trumpets. Well, the Temple Institute said that in light of the fact that they too, as Jews, believe the temple will be rebuilt prophetically from just scriptures in the Old Testament, let alone the New Testament, which they don't believe in, they said then we might as well get ready for it by building all of the instruments that are necessary for the worship and for the sacrifices. I think there are some 80-some different things that need to be made, and they are, I believe, at last count, they were like at 70-something. They've almost got everything made. They're just about prepared. They're training young Jewish men who are studying like doctors, books like Leviticus, and they are preparing step by step how to do and reenact the sacrifices exactly as God had laid it out to Moses thousands of years ago. Now, let me also say this. I think that between now and the building of that temple, that there are many things that have to happen. There is probably some really rough waters to go through before that day would come. But at some point, they will say, you know what, peace and safety, and everyone will agree to it. They'll enter into this 7-year contract. Okay, everybody's happy with it. Okay. And when that temple is rebuilt, they will begin sacrificing. And on one day, for instance, I believe it's Yom Kippur, they sacrifice or shed the blood, or will shed the blood, if they reenact it according to the scriptures, which as Orthodox Jews they will, where on one day they will kill over 1,000 lambs. Can you imagine how much blood that will be? And then I also wonder about the animal rights activists, how they're going to feel about so many animals. They're going to be quite upset, no doubt. I can imagine all kinds of controversy about it. Why is this temple called the Temple of God? And I want to just go through this last part quickly. The temple is a picture of the Messiah. Did you know that? Every little detail about the temple tells you something. If you want to know more about Jesus, you can study the temple, the parts of the temple, the areas of the temple, the instruments of the temple, the sacrifices of the temple, and every single aspect of the temple will show you or reveal to you more about Yeshua, Jesus. All of the sacrifices pointed to Jesus. He is the fulfillment of them all. They point to him as the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of men. And he bore the divine judgment that was due us, literally, personally. Now, let's get to the why. Why did the angel tell John to measure the temple? Okay, so we're now, this is a future temple. It is an angel standing there, and he says, measure. And he's told in verse 1, 3 things to measure. 1, the temple of God. Note what it does not say. It doesn't say the temple of Israel, though it is a temple in Israel. It is called the temple of God. Secondly, notice it's not called the temple of the Jews, which a lot of people will probably call it the temple of the Jews. It will, when this is rebuilt, be extremely controversial, especially with the animal sacrifices and blood. And of course, Christians will be screaming to some extent, saying, we don't need animal sacrifices. Jesus was sacrificed once for all. It is not called even the temple of the Jews. It is called the temple of God, which means it's not a bad temple. It's a good thing. So don't be against when you hear about the temple of God. This is part of God's will and part of God's plan. Secondly, measure the altar. Okay. Thirdly, the people who worship there. Think about this. God wants to number, to have an accounting of those who are worshiping him and the days and the last days. Measure them, number them, count them individually, personally. I want to see and know how many and who believes in me in the end days. Isn't that interesting? You know what? God's into numbers to a certain extent. He really is. He numbers things. And it's an accounting. And what's most precious to him are people, his children. And he loves you, and he counts you, and he sees you individually. And he notices, hey, look, they went to church. You are his sheep. And any good shepherd counts his sheep, numbers his sheep, names his sheep, and loves each one individually. It is called the temple of God. God loves this temple. He loves this place. It is still holy today. That little spot, because of what happened there to his son 2,000 years ago. And what's interesting to me is that all the nations of the earth that are wrestling over the modern problems and war and terror and religion and all the rest, when you boil it all down, it all comes down to that one mountain where Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. In other words, God's having his own reckoning, and he's got all the nations in the world trying to figure out how they can bring peace to this place. And it's like an immovable rock. They don't know what to do. They have a plan, and they're going to try it, and it will appear to work for half of the time, 3.5 years, but then it's going to miserably fail. And God will bring everyone back to, and I believe ultimately, the accounting for every nation, language, kindred, and tribe, and each individual. The question, God will bring the entire world, nation by nation, to that mountain and say, what did you do with the blood of my son that was shed for you? That's going to be quite a day, called the Great Day of Judgment. Why would the angel say, measure the temple of God? In other words, it's God's temple. It's a holy thing, and it is a good thing. Why would God allow, many Christians will wonder, why would God allow a temple to be rebuilt? Jesus is the new temple, and now the body of Christ, we're the living temple, and inside of us is the glory. And so this must be a bad temple. Why would this temple be good? And it must be good because it is called the temple of God. Because I believe that God is wanting to reconcile the world unto himself. He also wants to bring the Jewish people, who did reject him long ago, to himself. And you know, sometimes when you get off the track, and there's a long space of time, sometimes you have to go back to the last time that you were on track to pick up, as it were, where you left off. Let me put it very simply. I believe that God is going to bring the Jewish people. They are in desperate need right now of a spiritual revival. And while my heart's desire, and I'm sure your heart's desire, is that every one of them would come to know and believe, as well as every Palestinian and every Arab and every person upon the planet would come to know and love our Savior Jesus. But it may be that before the Jewish people can come to the new covenant, they first have to go back at least to the old covenant and begin there. They have to acknowledge that there is a God and that he is active in our world and that he is relevant and that he is to be worshiped and that he is holy and that he has given to us his word and that there is a need even for sacrifice. Now, I will say this, you know, it's hard for me to fathom. I'm sure it's hard for you to fathom. What will the reaction of the world be if and when the temple is rebuilt and they start sacrificing animals, 1,000 on one particular day, the blood flowing everywhere? But and there will be people that will react and probably some Christians that will say it's bad and all the rest. But I will say this. In a broken, fallen world, there must be a sacrifice for sin. And far better at that moment that animals die rather than right now what is happening in the Holy Land is human beings are being sacrificed. The blood of men and women, boys and girls, made in the image and after the likeness of God. But I believe that God's going to use those sacrifices to begin a revival, probably a beginning spiritual revival, will be of the Jewish people back to Judaism, back to the relevance of the Word of God and the prophets. And surely if the temple's rebuilt, then at least from the Old Covenant standpoint, those who are religious Jews will say, see, God prophesied, God said, and he did what he said. It's time for you to come back and to worship him. And I believe that God will use, here, the altar. John's told, measure the altar, sacrifices again. But here's an interesting thing. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. This is from the Living Bible, just so that it helps you make sense of it in simple language. But let's read this scripture out loud. This king will make a seven-year treaty with the people, but after half that time, he will break his pledge and stop the Jews from all their sacrifices and their offerings. Then, as a climax to all his terrible deeds, the enemy shall utterly defile the sanctuary of God. But in God's time and plan, his judgment will be poured out upon this evil one. So, apparently, the prince who is to come, who we know of as the Antichrist, after 3.5 years, comes to the Jewish nation and people and says, stop, no more blood, no more sacrifices, no more animals. And that's when literally all hell breaks loose. We don't want to be here for that time of tribulation or great tribulation. As Jesus said, no flesh would survive. So I want you to number the altar and then finally number the worshipers. Where will the temple be built? And we'll close with verse 2. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. So he's measuring these things, and he says, but leave out the court which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And then they will tread the city. He's talking about the Great Tribulation, 42 months, which is exactly 3.5 years. The Jews, if they wanted to build the temple right now, there is a problem. There's one little dilemma to rebuilding the temple, and that is that most people today, even among the Jews, believe that the temple stood where that golden Dome of the Rock is, which is the, third most holy site to the Muslims. You would have to remove somehow the Dome of the Rock. Well, you do that, then you're declaring, war between the Jews and over 1 billion Arabs. So they can't do that. Here's what's interesting. John is told to measure the temple, but as he measures it, the angel says, don't measure the outer court. Don't measure the outer court, because the outer court is given to the Gentiles. In the days of Jesus, there was an outer court where Gentiles and Jews could mingle together right next to the temple. Inside of that was the court of the priests. Inside of that was the holy place. Inside of that was the Holy of Holies. So there was a place, even in Jesus' day, where Gentiles could get a certain proximity to the temple. Now, there is and this is something that it's hard to explain, but there is on this flat area, if you can imagine, everybody sees a picture of Jerusalem, the Golden Dome, to the north of the Dome of the Rock, the third holiest site to the Muslim faith, there is a little dome on the Temple Mount area. It is at the top of Mount Zion. I don't know exactly who built the dome, but, for many years, the Muslims had been there, the Turks were there at various times over the centuries. And in Arabic, that little tiny dome to the north of the Dome of the Rock has two names. This is what the Arab Muslims have called it for centuries. They call it the Dome of the Tablets, and they call it the Dome of the Spirits. And therefore, there are some who say that little dome to the north of the Dome of the Rock is where the Holy of Holies once stood. This is what actually one Jewish archaeologist named Asher Kaufman has put forward as maybe we've all been wrong, both Jews, Muslims, and everybody. Maybe the temple actually was a little bit here to the north. Now, here's what's very interesting. Why would it be called by the Arabs and the Muslims the Dome of the Tablets, Dome of the Spirits? That's where the Holy of Holies was. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? Tablets, Ten Commandments, was in the Ark. and the ark was in the Holy of Holies. And the spirits, where did the Holy Spirit manifest his glory? Where the priests would fall down? It was in the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the sanctuary, where the mercy seat was, the Ark of the Covenant. So those two names in Arabic apply to the Holy of Holies. And if that now is truly the area of the Holy of Holies, listen to this. In that little dome called the Dome of the Tablets, Dome of the Spirits in Arabic, you could put the Holy of Holies around it. You could then put the holy place around it, and the place where the sacrifices and so forth were. And guess where the Dome of the Rock would be if that, in fact, is the place of the Holy of Holies? The Dome of the Rock would be in the court of the Gentiles, which is allowed by the Word of God and the law of God. How fascinating, then, that John, who in his day, there wasn't even a temple, it had been destroyed, is looking in a vision at this future temple in the last days, and the angel says, don't measure the outer court. In other words, don't build it. It's given already to the Gentiles. What then this suggests is this possibility, and this is what I'm putting forth to you. It may be now possible, and this would never have been imagined just a matter of years ago. It may be possible that if there can be a peace agreement between Israel and the Arab world, if they do share Israel and Palestine, and then if they do share Jerusalem, Christian, Muslims, and Jews, and then inside of that, they go to the last piece of the puzzle, which is then you have to share the Temple Mount, then it may be possible that the Jews could rebuild their temple and leave the Dome of the Rock, and those two buildings would be side by side. And that the Jews would then begin their sacrificial system, and you have the Muslims there, and for a seven-year, something to do with a seven-year covenant, this is all, it's going well, it's going good, it's happening for 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years into it, something terribly, terribly goes wrong. The Antichrist stops the sacrifices. And then that gets into a whole other story of how he leads the world in a rebellion against the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he loses big time. You can read it in Revelation chapter 19.
Pastor Ray Bentley, sharing the possibilities of how Bible prophecy may unfold before our eyes. Glad you've joined us for today's fascinating study here on Maranatha Radio. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for The Glorious Temple. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention the title, The Glorious Temple. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And then we want to make sure you know about Pastor Ray's new book. It's called The Holy Land Key. It's an eye-opening look at Bible prophecy, but it goes deeper than what you've read before.
It is an examination of prophecy that goes beyond the clock on the wall and speculative timelines. You will meet the people the Old Testament prophets actually saw in the future and learn the historical context of prophecy and experience the journey of suffering and triumph lived by God's people over the centuries.
The title is The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan is revealed in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray reveals significant prophetic patterns discovered in the lunar cycle. Dr. David Jeremiah says of the book, "While on vacation, I had the privilege to read Ray Bentley's book on Israel. I am not a stranger to the Holy Land, having been there many times, but I learned so many things about Israel and God's people that I did not know. The book reads like an adventure story. It causes you to look over your shoulder at God's continued blessing upon His people and to look forward to the many prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. When you are finished with this read, you will want to book a tour of Israel. Get a copy for yourself. It's called The Holy Land Key. Available now at our online store at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.